Yes, he still speaks, and he says that my sheep hear my voice, and they do follow me. And a lot of folks say they hear from God, but they don't follow God. Something wrong with that statement. Thank you, Abby, for that special. And that's, somebody said, how you know God speaks to you? Well, I know when he don't. Right? Yeah. Open your Bibles to Proverbs. We're going to go to chapter 10. We were in chapter 9 last week, and we're not going to try to get very far in chapter 10, but Proverbs again tonight. Proverbs will help us on our journey. We do hear his voice, and we are told to follow him. And Proverbs will help us to do that. It tells us it's wisdom. God wants us to have that wisdom. It's one of the books of wisdom. I want you to look at chapter 10, but I want to review chapter 9 just a little bit with you this morning, this evening, just a few hours late. Proverbs is often addressed to young men, and right here in chapter 10, it'll say a wise son, and encouraging the young man to follow wisdom. In chapter 9, a young man was introduced to two different kinds of women, good and bad. To start with, the good one is in the chapter 9 and inviting the young man to come in and to enjoy the good things, the right things. And the last woman in the chapter 9 was also inviting him for the wrong things. Well, that's life. That's the way life works. Who are you going to listen to? A lot of voices. Abby was singing about voices there. A lot of voices calling to you in his life. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to follow? And, of course, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're certainly smart to follow him. And he does speak to us. Speaks to us through the Word. Speaks to us through his Spirit in our heart. And by the way, those two will never contradict each other. And they'll always fit perfectly together. And looking now in chapter 10, I referred to the two women mentioned in chapter 9. And this is a big choice for a young man to make the right choice. His success will depend on the right choice. And somebody has said, whether a man winds up with a hen egg or a nest egg depends on the chick he marries. Now, you understand the wisdom in that little statement? A good woman and a good man together make a good team, not only for God, but a good team to have success in life. And that's so important, so important. And this next chapter, though, after dealing with the two women, so to speak, in chapter 9, this next chapter, let's read down through verse 6, and I want you to pick out some words with me. And then I'll tell you what the words are, as subject of them. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. We agree with that, don't we? But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And while it hurts mother and dad, if a son's going wrong, it does seem like it weighs heavier on the mother. As a preacher, I can tell you that. No matter how old a fella gets, it's still her baby. And no matter how much wrong he does, it's still that mother's love that reaches out. See that all the time. Read about it in the newspaper. Some of the killings and bad stuff that you read about in the newspaper. It's so sad when you see the families, when they're suffering and hurting in their grief. I'll reach way back for this one. No TV growing up. My wife and I had been married probably a few months before we bought an old used black and white TV. But we did listen to the radio some growing up. Oh, somebody help me with some of those programs, like some of them kind of scary. Name one. One at a time. Huh? Say it again. The Shadow, yeah. But there was another, a Squeaking Door or something. Anybody? Say that, John. Did you say it? Inner Sanctum? Yeah, yeah. There were several of those. They didn't last very long, and all it was talk on the radio and somebody playing the organ, you knew. It set the mood with the organ, you know, sort of like a soap opera. But anyway, in fact, I guess a lot of them were soap operas. But anyway, I remember this one. Now, I was pretty young when I was listening to it. That old house right there behind the hotel. I was probably in junior high, or maybe a little more. And I was listening to it one night. And I hope I remember it. This mother was sitting at the sick bed of a young son. She was praying for him to get well. And she dozed off and began to dream. And she began to dream the boy did get well, and he did grow up, but he went bad. He took the bad turn. And in the end of her dream, she was sitting outside of a jailhouse door, waiting for him to be executed. She dreamed all that as she was at the bedside of a sick baby. And then at the end of the program, the doctor came in and woke her up, and she realized she'd been sitting there dreaming. And he called her name and he said, "I am so sorry, but your baby didn't make it." And of course, her mind went to, had the dream been a preview of how he would have turned out had he lived. Now that's pretty good for a radio program, right? You ever think about how many mothers must think when some kid's broken their heart, "I never expected this. How could this bundle of joy have gone so bad?" That's a hard thing about life, but it's true, very true. And we're blessed if we haven't had to go through that one way or another. But here, looking in chapter 10, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And then I want you to watch certain words. Treasures of wickedness, profit. What's the word profit? Nothing. But righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Now, the word famish. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Now, I want you to pick up these words. Treasures, profit, famish, substance. You might not have thought about it, but all that has to do with material wealth. Or wealth that we call it wealth. The things we need to get through life. We do need to have the right substance. We don't want to famish. We want to profit. So all that has a little bit of a connotation of money or wealth involved. Speaking of the young man making a choice between the two women, the other choice that the young man has to face is, how's he going to make it through life? Is he going to financially make it? Is he going to be able to have what he needs through life? I want to say to you, the promise here is that the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. God has promised to supply our needs, not our wants. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the Bible does talk about filthy riches. Now, success through life depends on something. It depends on your relationship with others, which can be your husband and your wife. Also, are you going to be able to earn a living? Are you going to be honest? Are you going to have what you need? Or, that's a big concern. As long, I've said this so many times, money, we'll call it money. Money makes a great servant, but it makes a terrible master. And if you let your whole purpose be in here to just be getting richer than somebody else, do you ever think about how many people will work and slave and sacrifice and hurt and maybe do some things that are wrong to gain wealth? But as life wears out on them, they'll spend that same wealth to get their health back. That's such a vicious cycle we're in, folks. And so the right way to do it is do it God's way. Do it God's way. And so these instructions here, even though it might deal with some material things, it's good. It says in verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now that means carelessness and doing things wrong. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now you and I translate that down to, is he a lazy rascal or is he a hard worker? That's the basics of it right there. Then he says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. And of course, other places compares us to the ant and the grasshopper and stuff. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Oh yeah. Most communities, and I remember this growing up as a kid, as you heard even the adults talk sometime, most communities had somebody picked out that was lazy, sorry, not worth shooting, all the terms that you might have heard growing up. You can build a reputation that way. And then you can build a reputation for, boy, he's a hard worker. And everybody likes the second one, the hard worker. They like the one that's zealous and careful and don't deal with a slack hand and so forth. So all of this is all practical to life. But, you know, you can come to church and you can rejoice in the church services, but the test of your character is after you leave church. Test of the character that you have, Christian character, is how do you handle life? How do you handle the journey that while we're on the way to heaven? Now, I'm not going to go much further here. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just. But, the opposite truth now, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. I mentioned it Sunday in the sermon over here in Lakeland. There was an older couple, retired couple. Had been, I think, in work for the city or the commissioner or something in Lakeland. I've been by that area years ago. I knew that area pretty good where they lived. And it would be an upscale area and maybe above average house that you would look at. And yet in just a short few minutes, according to the newspaper, the husband went out to jog or went to the store or whatever, just 20 minutes. In that 20 minutes, a man come in with a knife and stabbed and killed his wife and forced her to write him a $5,000 check. And then when the man came up to the bedroom to see why she hadn't come down for breakfast, he stabbed and killed him too. And that's when I said what I did about owning the gun. And some of you ladies came to me immediately, you want me to train you to shoot a gun. No, I'm not going to do that. But I would advise you to have a weapon in your house and know how to shoot it. And honestly, the times are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. So I drop that on you again. But there are different ones that will help you. Help you buy a legal gun and even shoot it. Now, I've given my wife some advice. She has a little old gun. I don't know if she knows where it's at or not, but she has one. And I've told her, you don't have to be Dick Tracy. You don't have to be Wild Bill Hickok. You don't have to shoot their eye out. Just pull the trigger. Just pull it until it don't shoot no more. Yeah. Amen. That's the way you ought to do it. And the truth of the matter is, I hate to say it, folks, we're moving in strange days ahead now. Something we've probably never really lived through in America. In certain places, certainly worse than where we're at in our good county here. Back to the text here, dealing with wealth. Let me say this about it for just a few minutes here. Big news of our day now, whether you've noticed it or not, there's a lot of folks talking about the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, that has to do with buying and selling. If you don't have the number, now the vaccine is coming in. You've heard me preach about it. The day could come. You can't get in the grocery store if you're not vaccinated. Really. And not as far off as you might think. I'd say within the next 2 or 3 years. Now, we're rejoicing. They claim they've got some vaccines. All right, good. Of course, they're going to politicize that even best they can. But and that's good. But we are moving into this thing of the Antichrist, the mark and sell, the mark that you can't buy or sell without. And I've been saying for years, long time, that the Bible predicted a day would come when they would be what we would call a cashless society, a day when the mark would be real, a day when the global government would be in power, which we would know as the government of the Antichrist. I was doing something I haven't done in many years, cleaning out my office a little bit today, finding saber-tooth tiger bones and dinosaur bones and one or two humans I killed and buried back there. Digging up some deep stuff in the archives, I'm not kidding you. And then I haven't even got halfway through. But I come across these two things, and they're dated 1916, and I'm sure I probably referenced them probably at the time. I just want to say a little bit about it. These things are warning about the ban on cash that's coming to America. Now, 2016, that's 4 years ago. 4 years ago. The other one is called the death of cash and march towards economic totalitarianism, tyranny and dictator. And then the interesting thing is they begin to describe things you and I already see happening big time. And it's talking about how it's moved through Europe. And it says a ban on cash has begun. 4 years ago this was written now. It says folks do not realize now how little cash is in circulation and how much of it has become electronic. And it talks about these big companies, various ones that's pushing it. It says in the U.S., the war against cash is more or less a little more undercover, but it's happening. The first step toward banning cash in America is the proposed elimination of the $100 bill. Well, I've had that eliminated for years, haven't you? All joking aside, they're beginning to change those denominations now. Well, I can't read all this. It is interesting, though. Then the other one has about the same thing to say. They're independent of each other. Several different things, talking about the interest rates and all that. Stuff that we're seeing right now. Some of us, I have, and I'm sure you have already had some experience, even in local stores, when it comes to giving change. And I told you, even up in West Virginia, where we would think maybe about out there in the country, this would not happen. And one of the deacons told me when I was up there the last time, he just had the experience. He come in the house talking about it. And he came in there saying, I bought an item and they rounded it off with a change and said they didn't have any change, but cost him about 75 cents extra. He said, why didn't you round it off the other way? You lose the 75 cents instead of me. And then even on the way home, when I had a flat tire and was trying to put some quarters in the air machine, I found out those quarters were hard to come by. Went into place and tried to get them to change some paper money into quarters where I could air up the tire. Oh, we can't do that. Can't give that kind of change. I said, you want my car to sit there all night, right blocking your driveway? Well, they thought about that after a while and gave me some change. But we're moving into something strange going on. Brother David Yeager, raise your hand. Y'all look, y'all know David, David and Jenny over there. David came up to me Sunday night right here and shared something that just happened to him. I may spare just a few details, David, but he was in a local store here, one that you and I have been in many times, I'm sure. And he picked up an item to buy it, and he walked up to the to pay for it, and he was going to do like I do 99% of the time. I pay for something with cash. I just believe if you pay it with green, it hurts you worse and you won't spend as much. All right, anyway, he walked up to pay for it with cash. Now, David, you I believe I'm telling it right. When he got up there, not too far away, he had already paid for it. The thing had scanned his card in his billfold before he ever took it out. And so the cashier shared with him, no, your number's already, he already paid for that. He said, no, I was going to buy it with cash. Now, these papers I just showed you right here and all the information that's coming, this is a plan that's moving in real fast. And some of you had that experience. I know at least one fellow in the building, I believe, told me he walked out of a store because they wouldn't let him pay for it in cash. Not a lot of money, $15 or something. No, put it on your card. No, I don't want to put it on my card. Hey, what's happened to our freedom? You see, all of a sudden, everything now, we've gone to the digital stuff all the way, and people are living in cyberspace, and old dinosaurs like me don't fit in very well. But I still believe we ought to have a right and a freedom to do it the way we want to do it. Amen? I remember one time I was in an airport, and on a trip like that, when I'm leaving America, I do get a $100 bill, and I fold it up, and I put it in my billfold, and that's called emergency money. Well, I had an emergency at the Miami airport. And needed a few more dollars. You know, you ever got caught in an airport where you had to pay some kind of extra tax? I believe going back and forth to the Bahamas. Dylan, you know something about that? I believe there's a charge. Anyway, I wound up having an extra $25 I didn't have, and I pulled that $100 bill out, and they had to check it to see if it was counterfeit. Of course, that's down in the Miami area. I expect they have a lot of it down there. But all of a sudden, you suspect just living the old-fashioned way that we always brought up and lived. Things are different now. Now, with all the talk about what's happened with the election and everything else, watch out. You're going to see it begin to show up in so many places, and one place is in the financial side of things, the money. And say, well, why are you telling us? What can we do? I don't know. Give me all your money, I reckon, and I'll save it for you. You're going to have charlatans and different ones telling you to do just about that, and you better be careful. The scamming that's going on the telephones now, and anymore, it's not just a landline, it can be your cell phone anymore, too. And a lot of stuff is really being pulled. It is amazing. It is amazing. So then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what we are supposed to do. Keep on witnessing, keep on serving, keep on living the clean life, keep on obeying the Lord, keep on making the right choices. And God's made us a promise that the righteous will not be famished. They'll not lose out. He'll take care. His grace will be sufficient. I've said this through the years. A Christian family that lives for the Lord, they may come to church, maybe if they're giving God a tenth and they're giving to missions and they're living the Christian life, they may not be driving the newest car in the parking lot. They may not be wearing the very fanciest clothes, but you watch, God will take care of them every time. Every time. I used to be the treasurer in the church I got saved in, Central Baptist in Winter Haven. I got saved there. And I became one of the deacons after a few years and finally became the head treasurer of the church. Now, church wasn't that big. The offerings were not that big. But I posted, use envelopes or use checks and send somebody out their statement at the end of the year, like you do. And I got to know the families. This family got saved. They've been saved 6 months. This one's been saved a year, or that one 2 years. And I began on just my own to watch something. I watched the family that come in with an old beat up car that hardly got in the parking lot. I watched them where they had hand-me-down clothes and a pile of kids. But they came in, got faithful, got right. And I began to notice they were giving God his part. They were giving the tenth. Somebody would say, how in the world can they? They got all those needs. They need clothes. They need a car. And then I began to watch that the car came. The clothes came. They lived a better lifestyle. And I began to notice that. And I could give you the names of some of those families till this day because I watched it. God took care of them. He took care of them. That's his promise. That's what he'll do. And while the world is going to go into no telling what here with the cashless society and everything else they're trying to bring in, you and I know something about it they don't know. Our Father owns not only the cattle on the hills, but the hills. And he can take care of us. And he's promised to do that. He's promised to do that. If you are faithful to God, I believe you got a right to ask God to supply your needs. I believe he will. I believe I can say that in my own personal life. And I believe I've watched people and pastored people. Old Dr. Lee Robertson. I don't know, Scotty, how old was he when he died? If I were caught up with him, but close. All right, amen. You remember what he said? He said it takes three to thrive. Church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and be a tither. He said, then God has obligated himself with his promises to take care of you. I believe I've seen that testimony. I believe I can say, yes, it works. Yes, it works. No, I ain't buying your way to heaven, but you are showing God you believe in his cause and that you got a heart for that cause and you want to be trusting him with it all. Amen? Yeah, Proverbs deals with something as practical as finances for us. Sure does. All right, let's stand. Brother Bert, choir practice. All right, all right. Father, we thank you for the word of God, the instruction. Father, as we see times coming on us that we've never seen before, strange things happening and diversified things and evil things, Father, just help us to know we need to keep making the right choices, doing what you tell us to do, and that your promise is very real to take care of us. Thank you again, Father, for the Lord Jesus and every blessing we have in him, and we thank you in his precious name. Amen. All right.